You're listening to the Small Business Talk podcast with Kathy Smith, episode 89.
Small Business Talk is a podcast for business owners and entrepreneurs who want a better way to run their businesses without spending years doing it the hard way. Small Business Talk is hosted by Kathy Smith, who has run the same marketing agency for more than 17 years. And help hundreds of business owners achieve their marketing goals.
Welcome to Small Business Talk. Today, we are talking to Rebecca Tichbon from Titch Haven. Welcome, Rebecca. Can you tell us why you're here and how you might be able to help us?
Hi, thanks for having me, Kathy. Yeah, I'm here today to share a bit about my journey, and we're discussing who is the most important person in your business.
Well, that sounds really great. And is it okay if I call you Beck?
Yes, most definitely. Rebecca is usually when I'm in trouble for something. So Beck is good.
I know that feeling. So who is the most important person in your business and why is that important?
Well, certainly the most important person in my business is me. And I think other business owners would feel the same way. Without us, there is no business, especially as a sole practitioner or a sole trader, if that's the business format that you're in. But even without that, if you're the CEO or the people that your employees turn to, then you need to have that leadership. And even if you're the only employee, you've got to be your own leader.
Absolutely. And I think that is so important that we often look after our partners, our staff, our team, and we forget to look after ourselves. So can you tell us a little bit about what Titch Haven is and why we're discussing this subject?
So Titch Haven is my little business here in Bunbury. It's been going for nearly 5 years, coming up for that now. And I am an aromatherapist with a background in medical science. I learnt that as a way for my personal journey to offer aromatherapy to other people after learning it for myself. And I also do some other work in the wellness space by combining aromatherapy with dancing and women's wellness support. So I tend to work mostly with women in that space. And today, I guess I want to share a bit about what I do in my business, but also how I support myself through all of that. Because obviously, when I'm working with other people that are needing some support and emotional support, I need to look after my own as well, because you've got to walk the talk to start with, but also to be able to be empathizing but not take on other people's stresses and energies. So it can be important for us as people working in business, whether we're working with clients or whether we have employees, that we support our emotional selves to be able to then support others, fill our own cups.
Yes, I think that's a great place to start. And for our overseas listeners, Bunbury is in the southern section of Western Australia. And we are so very lucky that we have very little effect of the current pandemic. So we're very grateful that it's heading to our summer and that we have the most beautiful weather. So emotionally looking after ourselves as people and, of course, as business owners is just so important, which is Beck's area of specialty with her aromatherapy practice. So I guess for people that don't have the same kind of background and knowledge as you have, where would you suggest that the average business owner should be starting to look at protecting themselves about whether it's a bad day from a customer experience or whether they've had issues with their suppliers or their team or their employees? Where do you think we should be starting?
Well, we want to start with ourselves and getting our own mindset right. And a beautiful opportunity for that is first thing in the morning. And that can be creating the space for you to look at your day, set yourself up right. So a lot of people put in a little bit of a ritual to that practice. That could be something like writing in a journal, could be doing a meditation, could be doing some qigong or something like that to just get yourself in the right mindset. Now, for me, the problem is that I've got a six-year-old that as soon as my toe pokes out from under the covers of the bed, he is awake and ready to jump on my head. So I find that first thing in the morning a little bit tricky to do that mindset work. So I carve out that space at lunchtime instead. And that works really well for me, that I can, you know, step away from my desk, take a moment to myself. I might go for a little walk. I might do a meditation. I might even just carve out some space with some aromatherapy. Could be just as simple as drinking a cup of tea mindfully instead of still answering emails and doing all that sort of work. And I find that sets me up really well for the rest of the afternoon. So, yeah, we're finding out that little bit of space where you can tap into yourself. Where are you within your emotions? Where are you within the progress of your day? Perhaps adding in some self-compassion. You know, things don't always go fantastic and to plan, but we just keep on plodding on and know that we're doing the best that we can. And certainly this past year has been really challenging in that, because we have had so many things come up for us that can challenge us within our businesses and outside the businesses, which of course then impact within the business. So yes, finding that little bit of space to tap into yourself, feel how you're going. And one thing I love to do is go back to my why. Why am I in business? What was my vision when I started it out? And am I still working towards that? Is it still the thing that motivates me every day? And that could be another beautiful thing to journal or think about each and every day to keep me motivated.
I love that, because you hear a lot of people say you have to do it first thing in the morning. For a lot of mums, that just doesn't work. Or if you're not a morning person, that might be very challenging for you. So yeah, just setting aside that particular time, whether it be morning, whether it be 10 o'clock, lunchtime. The other thing is maybe it could be late in the afternoon if that works best for you. So picking that time that suits you to do that thing. And yes, having a hot cup of tea that you actually get to drink in one go was something that I absolutely relished when my children were younger. Yeah, doing your bit of gratitude and your mindful over a nice hot cup of tea is a great thing to do. Okay, so we're thinking about doing some practices, maybe bringing in a bit of meditation and Qigong. So if people are sort of thinking about maybe starting on the aromatherapy path, would you have a particular oil that would suit, or how would you say that people should be looking at thinking about that?
Aromatherapy is beautiful in that we can use the oils to balance our emotions, whether that's if we're feeling low and we want to be picked up a little bit, or whether we just want to feel some nice calmness if we're feeling already stressed out. There's some beautiful oils that you can use in either situation. For me, my favorite oil has always been bergamot, and this has been years and years since I was a teenager and I first began loving essential oils. The beauty of this oil is that it's quite an uplifting sort of smell, so it can drag me out of the doldrums, but it's also quite calming and leveling out. It picks me up without taking me up too high, if you like, and I just find it very balancing. So it's a beautiful citrus oil that contains some balancing chemical components, and I find it's just a beautiful clearing sort of smell as well, so it's quite fresh. So that's something nice to have in the diffuser. Other people might turn to things like your classic lavender. It's always been known as a very calming sort of smell. If you enjoy those sorts of more herbaceous and floral scents. In the afternoons, I love to pull out some peppermint. That really wakes me up and gets me going in the afternoon. So it's kind of a good turn to, instead of reaching for caffeine, reach for an uplifting smell like peppermint. Yeah, so there's lots of different ways that we can turn to oils to help us with that emotional swing. And it can be simply putting that in a diffuser, or even if it's just a drop on a tissue that you can have wafting around. The beauty is if you can actually spend a moment to just stop and focus on that smell just for a moment, and let that tap into your emotions. How are you going? Actually take a moment to feel into that space, feel into the physical body. Are you carrying stress? Is it your shoulders tense? Is your chest tight? And where can you relax? And using that bit of aromatherapy as a way of a mindful moment in your day.
Yeah, and that can be just that mind switch, can't it? It can be that mind block sort of, okay, I'm in that bit of a spiral. I just get my favourite oil, and depending on your situation, whether you're in an office where it's not appropriate to have a diffuser, and, of course, being mindful of other people's fragrances if they're around too. I know a lot of people say that Basel is a really great one for stimulating and especially for things like study. Whereas I love basil as a plant. I love it in the garden, but I find the oil is way too strong for me. So just be mindful of who's around. And if you're in your home office, of course, you can burn whatever you so choose. If you're in a more co-working space or a working space where there's other people, then you just need to be mindful. So yeah, putting on a tissue, or there's lots of gorgeous jewelry that you can put it onto there. So while we're talking about oils, oils aren't oils. So what should we be looking at when we're thinking of either using or buying aromatherapy oils?
Yeah, so really valid question, because in a marketplace, there's no rules as such across the world. There's no international standard that's been set over essential oils and their quality. So a lot of businesses where they sell essential oils put their own quality label on it, but there's no third party or no governing body that oversees that. So it's up to the consumer to really do a little bit of research about that company that they want to purchase from. I like to look for if there's available quality control results. So even if you're not a qualified aromatherapist to interpret all these amazing chemistry results, just the fact that they have them there is reassuring that it's a quality product. And looking for on the labeling of the bottle, things like, does it have the full botanical name of the plant from which the oil came from? Is it labeled as 100% pure essential oil? Or does it have the label fragrance oil? And that's the fragrance oils are often synthetic. They're not a true essential oil product, or they can have been tainted, contaminated with other substances. Fragrance oils might smell nice around the house, but they're not what we use for aromatherapy as such, because the chemicals in them aren't going to have the same therapeutic benefits as a true essential oil.
Perfect. And of course, if all the oils are the same price or they're in clear bottles, that's normally a dead giveaway that they're possibly not a proper essential oil. And yes, the fragrant oils are great, but depending on what they've been made with, they're not, like you say, going to give that therapeutic. And in some aspects that they may not be very good for your health at all. So just be aware when you're buying essential oils. And do essential oils have a shelf life?
Most definitely. So there's a range of shelf lives depending on the types of oils. Their shelf life can be impacted upon by light exposure, as you mentioned, Kathy, that if the glass is amber or dark blue coloured, that helps protect the oils from light. We should also be protecting them from heat. So in Australia, where we are, some people choose to keep their oils in the fridge because we do have such a warm environment over summer. Yeah, so we're looking for some of the oils will have a shorter shelf life, particularly the citrus oils. They might only last 6 months or so on the shelf, and then some can last up to a year or two. And then there's the beautiful patchouli that actually kind of keeps getting better. It's like a wine, a fine wine. It keeps developing with age, and you can keep that one for quite a long time on the shelf and still use it and actually can improve in its odor over time. Exposing the oils to air, if you keep the lids off the bottles all the time, that's going to cause oxidation. So the oils that tend to oxidize quickly are mostly the citrus oils, but usually they're our favorites as well, and we use them up more quickly. That's keeping mindful. So you might like to label your oils with your purchase date, or some quality brands will actually have a use by on the bottle printed somewhere as well. So it's worth checking every now and again. Just like going through your medicine cabinet and getting rid of old medicines, we can do the same with our essential oil collections.
So thinking about that, is there a way that we should be disposing of them? Is it okay to put them in the household rubbish, or does it need to have some other way that we should be disposing of those oils, particularly if they are a fair quantity? Yeah. And being that they are 100% pure.
That's right. Being an oil, it's not something that you want to go tipping down the drain and clogging things up. And also, just like medications, some chemists will accept them for disposal as well. Because they are flammable, it can be risky to put them in the general waste. So there might be a way of disposing of them more safely.
Okay, so just check your council or shire regulations on that. Okay, so let's get back to the most important person in the business, being the business owner. So we're thinking about being mindful. We've done a bit of gratitude work. What sort of steps do you think we should be planning out as we're heading at the time of recording? We've only got about 70 effective days for the end of this quarter. So we really want to make 2020 the last bit, the best we possibly can. So where should we be looking to be supporting the business owners and ourselves?
And I'm finding the feedback I'm getting at the moment is that everyone seems quite busy. Whether because of COVID, things have turned a corner in where they're living and suddenly things are picking up again, or how they have been able to pivot their business at this time has meant that they're able to step up and really be busy. But it's also really important to put that time in for working on yourself as well as on the business. So that can be carving out that space that we already mentioned, but also making regular time for checking in with how you're going and the staff as well to make sure that you're on track. Because the problem is we get in this busy cycle and we end up working in the business instead of on the business, and we just get caught up in the doing instead of going back to, is this doing still working towards the goals that we set for the business? It's important to take that time out for both your own mental and health, physical health and well-being, as well as for the business. So you might want to make sure that you create that space for your own physical and emotional well-being, whether that's making sure you do a daily bit of exercise, just some stretches at your desk, chair yoga, going for a walk, and that will clear your head to be able to better focus on what you're doing in the business. I think we get so caught up in the busyness that we feel like we can't take that time out. But when we do, we actually become much more effective. So making that time out a priority is just as important as all the other things we're juggling within our business as well.
It can almost be like a reset. My daughter's been studying and doing the last years her high school, and she says, I'm too busy to exercise. But if I coerce her and get her to come for a walk, then afterwards she de-stresses a bit, and that it's almost that reset. And quite often when you do clear your mind like that, other thoughts pop up that you may not have thought about. So you find that easier way to do something, or you might be able to incorporate something that you hadn't been thinking about before because your head was just racing around. So that reset is really important. So a lot of people say that you should incorporate meditation into your life and certainly getting ready to start for your work day. Now, you've got a really interesting way that you do meditation, don't you, Bec? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I've created a new technique called aroma meditation, and it came from my own experiences because I have a super busy mind. I tend to be always thinking about the future, always planning, always organizing. And when I tried mindfulness in the past, I knew it was really good for me and I knew it was going to help me. But the moment I sit down and tried to clear my mind, immediately my mind wants to start grabbing at all those thoughts that are racing through it again. And I actually found it exhausting to do that. Like, this is not working for me. I need to think of a different way, different approach. And that's when I found that by using essential oils as a focus during my mindfulness and meditation practice, it helped me to really clear those thoughts from my mind and clear that space for myself. So during my mindfulness practice, I will have an essential oil that I can be enjoying the aroma of, whether that's with a diffuser. I love to use inhalers, which you put a few drops of essential oil onto a wick and it's inside a container that you can easily sniff. Probably an underutilized tool that we have in our aromatherapy toolkit. And I can gently breathe in that aroma and bring my focus on that. And because I'm focusing on a smell, I'm also bringing my focus back in on my breathing. And I can inhale and exhale gently and slowly and let that aroma come into my body and enjoy that smell. And it gives me a way of focusing very clearly. And as my mind wants to drift and float off back to catching thoughts again, I can let those go and bring my focus back to the smell. And it's a technique that other people use by listening to a guided relaxation, because their mind then focuses on the sounds, the words, the speaker, their meditation teacher. Or we might just have relaxing music going in the background. With aroma meditation, you can bring that focus in on the smell. And the beauty of that is if I have something like an inhaler, I can carry that around with me and pull it out and use it at any time. I don't need to be sitting in a beautiful, quiet space with my headphones and trying to do a yoga pose or something like that. I can just whip that inhaler out, or might have the smell on some jewelry, and I can just take a moment to stop and pause and smell that. And it's quite unobtrusive. So there's been times where I've been a stressful meeting and things are getting heated and I'm feeling that stress and I'm no longer engaging with the conversation as well as I could be. And I can casually sniff my aroma jewelry and bring myself back to center and then become a better part of that conversation. So it doesn't need to take, you know, a half an hour meditation. You can just do a couple of minutes of breath work with the essential oils to bring your mind back to focus.
That's a wonderful idea, because a lot of people, especially in our situation, being business owners, we do have busy minds. We get kept up all night thinking about, have we done, are we going to do, and all of that sort of thing. So even in that situation, you could have it on your bedside table and just reach over and then have a little sniff and bring it back to center and be able to sleep again. Yeah, great idea. And yeah, the jewelry you can sort of just waft across your nose very gently, or even your inhaler you can probably easily put hidden in your hand that, or on your tissue, that you can do that. That's wonderful, because sometimes you just get in those spirals and then before you know it, your mind's just taking you down somewhere you don't want to go. A great way to think about doing meditation if you haven't done it before. And I believe you've got some resources on your YouTube that people could go to and have a look at.
Yes, so I have some free recordings of aroma meditations recorded as YouTube videos with some simple imagery in the background. Also a teacher on Insight Timer. So my meditations are available there, as well as other amazing meditations. Yeah, so there's a few different ways that you can engage with those. And some of them are aligned to a particular essential oil. So if you've got a favorite, you can find the meditation for that. Or there are just general ones. So I don't speak about a specific essential oil. It's just about breathing in the aroma and let that aroma of essential oil calm you or even uplift you.
Fantastic. So we'll put those in the show notes so that people can go directly via the link. Okay, so we've done some gratitude. We've set our day, whether that be first thing in the morning or picking another time that's going to work for us. We've got a few tips on meditation. How else do you think we should be emotionally supporting ourselves and looking after ourselves as business owners?
Certainly, in my role as an aromatherapist, I'm working with people who are carrying stresses of their own, and I'm helping them with those. What I need to do is to be able to create the space between those people and my own emotions. So while I'm working with them, and then afterwards, I have a space and time to debrief myself and sort of clear myself of those emotions that I could pick up on from other people. And that can be the same when we're working within our business with our own employees or with our clients or our customers. When you have a client who, you know, is a bit angry or irate about something, we need to take that time out to make sure that we debrief ourselves and break off and don't take that negativity away with us. So that's one great way of supporting ourselves through that. But by doing that, it means that we then have the space to be able to provide that support and assistance to our employees and our customers. Otherwise, we will end up getting too caught up in things and we end up having arguments with our staff or, you know, rebutting our customers and ending up, they might not return after those sorts of experiences. So doing all these tasking on our own emotions makes us better able to support our employees and our customer base.
Yes, definitely, because sometimes you can just get one offhanded comment, whether it be in person or social media, and then that can influence your whole day. So by taking that break and doing that mindset check, then you can stop that there and then be able to move on and still have a good day. And of course, emotion sells. So if you're doing really well emotionally and you're serving a customer and they're maybe not, you can then portray your good emotion onto them and help them, which may then increase their likelihood of coming back or making a sale on that day, because obviously we all like to deal with happy people, and there's nothing better than a smile to make somebody feel a little bit better. And of course, we don't know what their situation is and the things that they've had to do, then you can quite often change somebody's perception quite quickly. Just last week, I was shopping with my daughter for her graduation dress, and we went to 4 different dress shops. And in one of them, the music was upbeat. There was some aromatherapy smells, which was gorgeous, and everybody was happy. And she was quite happy to try on 3 or 4 dresses. In some of the other places, there was one sales assistant who was obviously worked off her feet. There was no aromatherapy. The music was not something we were interested in, and we didn't stay in that shop very long. So that can be a real huge difference to your business. It's just making your customers feel welcome and wanted. So is there anything else that you think our SBT audience should know, Bec?
Certainly. So I have recently written a book about this topic.
And woohoo!
So that's exciting, about the use of aromatherapy for emotional management. Talk about, go into more detail into how to use the oils for that mindfulness practice, and even share about a bunch of different essential oils that you might like to choose to use for that experience. Yeah, excited to be sharing about that book that's coming out soon. And yeah, welcome people to reach out to me if they're interested in the aromatherapy. You alluded, Kathy, there to using aromatherapy in a shop. That's a really interesting way to use them, and something I've been interested in as well. I'd love to share about how aromatherapy is an effective tool, and it does work on the emotions, and it can be beneficial to business owners, to their staff, and to their customers. So yeah, something interesting that people might want to learn more about.
Fantastic. So where can people get on the wait list for your new book, and where can they find you?
My business is Titch Haven, so you can find me on the web at www.titchhaven.com. Of course, I'm across Facebook and Instagram, on social media. The book will be released across all of the book formats, Amazon and the likes. Yeah, and of course, people want to contact me via email, via the website, or have any questions, I'm happy to take that contact as well.
So for waitlisting, they can contact you direct to get put onto the email list for when it's due for release. So is it going to be released towards the end of the year?
Yeah, that's the plan. So I'm excited for that. We're just putting the finishing touches on the cover, and yeah, it's all been edited, ready to go. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to getting that out there and sharing that with lots of essential oil enthusiasts to see their collections get put to good use.
Fantastic. Okay, so at this point, Bec, we do 5 final questions. So are you game?
Sure.
So what is the best advice given to you by a mentor?
Best advice from a mentor goes back to my favorite quote, which we've kind of touched on here, about be kinder than is necessary, because everyone is fighting their own private battles. And if I keep that in the back of my mind when I'm dealing with an irate customer, if I've got an employee that's not coping so well, there's usually something underlying there, not just this current situation, but something else going on for them that we can't always be aware of. That's something I always take to heart, that whatever might be going on between myself and a client or someone I'm working with, a work colleague, there might be more to it, and to just not take everything to heart. It might not be me that's the issue, and I can try and be as supportive as I can to get through whatever that issue is.
So true. Often, that client business person relationship, generally, it's got nothing to do with you. It's whatever's happened in their day previously or things that they're going through. So that's a great one. What is the biggest help that you have received since starting your business?
I have felt incredibly blessed to be surrounded by business women in our local area. And so far, I have had nothing but amazing support. Meeting you, Kathy, has been amazing. Lots of other business women, particularly in the wellness space, which is where I work, and we all just support each other and build each other up. Currently got a wellness retreat on the go, so that's coming up on the 8th of November, and I've got that out there by working with other wellness practitioners who are going to be part of that wonderful experience. And yeah, don't necessarily feel like I'm in competition with any of them, because the more people we can help and support, the more we can get them interacting with each of our businesses. And we all have our own niches that, you know, I might have a client who I don't think I'm going to be able to support as well as a different wellness practitioner, and I might refer them to them, and I know that the same can be returned in kindness as well. So we're all here to support each other and see us all grow, and I love that experience.
That's fabulous, and I like the idea of making the pie bigger for everybody, not trying to grab at a tiny little piece. So that retreat is an in-person retreat, but I believe next year you're looking at doing some online courses and things as well.
Yes. So obviously COVID has kind of given me some ideas about how I can reach people who aren't able to come to face-to-face events, whether they're not local to us or other reasons why they might not be able to come along to a session. So we want to offer people ways of engaging with the services that we offer in an online forum, so that they can access that at any time of the day or the evening or in the middle of the night if that's what they need. Yeah, just so that we can engage with as many people and reach out to as many individuals as we can with support. And it's been a big mindset change for me around that, because I really wanted my stuff to really all face-to-face, all working with people individually. And COVID kind of came in and said, you might want to reconsider that little thought. And so I ended up delivering some dance sessions online. I've done some women's wellness events online, look at more ways of engaging with people in the online space in the near future.
And isn't that just wonderful that the universe likes to shake us up and give us some other ideas? So once again, we'll put those in the show notes so that everybody can access those and get on the wait list for the new things coming up. Okay, what is the one thing that you have to do every day, your non-negotiable?
That little piece of me time. And even if it is just that cup of tea where I'm drinking it mindfully and not being disturbed by my phone and my emails and my six-year-old climbing on my back going, mummy, mummy, just carving out that little bit of space for me. And if I don't do that, I tend to be a grumpy pants for the rest of the day. So it benefits everybody, not just myself, if I have that little bit of peace and quiet. So, yeah, I've really found that making that a priority is worthwhile for myself. And if I can't do it for myself, do it for other people, because I know that I can serve them better if I have done that for myself.
What is your favourite business book and why?
Done lots of different reading recently. My most recent reading has been in neuro-linguistic programming. So that's been interesting. Ooh. So I could learn how to use that with clients as well. So within the business and how I interact with people, and it kind of flows back to what I was talking about before with thinking about what other challenges people have and how I can help them through that space to then be able to work with me more effectively. So that's been really interesting, different type of learning. But, yeah, another way of learning how to market to people, how to engage with them within the business, and then just being a service-based business, how to work effectively with clients. But, yeah, that's been interesting.
Perfect. Okay, what do you wish that you had known when you started out?
I wish I had known that the help is out there, and I don't have to be the font of all wisdom, and people are willing to help. So they're reaching out to mentors, reaching out to other women in business and asking them for advice or support or just to learn more about what they do. And I find that when you do that reaching out, people are more than willing to give you what you're asking for and give that bit of time to you to answer your questions and to learn from other people as much as you can. And another big take home was with regards to reaching out for help, is to also consider giving tasks to other people that are better at it than you. Instead of spending 5 hours trying to work out something, you might be better off just spending a bit of money to pay someone else to do that, or finding some way of product exchange to get someone else to help you. Time is money, And that's my mindset as well. So, you know, if I've spent 5 hours on this certain task that's going to take someone else 20 minutes, probably would have been better off spending the money to pay them for 20 minutes instead of losing money for 5 hours by not working on any task in myself. That's a big thing. Find the experts and use them.
Yes, absolutely. The first thing I did was to outsource my bookkeeping, because when I employed my first bookkeeper, I said to her, oh, I think there's probably about a week's work there. And it was taking me 2 weeks. So I'd sort of cut that down, thought that was about right. Well, after about 3 days, she said, okay, what else is there? And then the next week, it took her like half a day. And it was a very big eye opener, because I was spending all this time and all my holidays doing data input and filing and money work that, yes, you've got to work on your own money, but I don't physically have to input everything. Work within your sweet spot. And what you said, if your hourly rate is $100 an hour and that's 5 hours worth, or even 50 or 20 or whatever your hourly rate is, or it could be a lot more, then you just need to work out, okay, that's 5 hours at that rate, or 20 minutes at their rate. It's quite a difference in money there. So, yes. Okay. Any final words that you would like to give the SBT audience, Bec?
I just want to encourage everybody at this time. I know it's been a really, really challenging year for everybody in business. Really welcome you to, or invite you to, remember to take that time out for yourself and maintain your own emotional and physical well-being. And that's going to serve you in your business as well as for yourself and your family.
True. And often people think that they are too busy to do that, but they don't realize how much time they will recoup by just doing that little bit of a reset and adjusting their emotional well-being so that they can look after themselves and not end up in that spiral. And like you said before, then create a spiral around them where everybody else is affected as well. So that's wonderful. So we'll put all your contact details and your waitlist for your book on the show notes. So look forward to reading that very, very shortly. So thank you very much, Bec. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Kathy.
Don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk podcast and head on over to smallbusinesstalk.com.au/downloads for all the show notes and links to this episode. Remember, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode, take action and implement it. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Until then, take action. And SBT community, enjoy your journey.